will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Looking for the corner, thrown behind the receiver again. That's a touchdown. Under pressure, this time he throws a touchdown.
It's
play
action. Wide open touchdown.
Perfection.
Joining Mark Carmen and friends tonight, it's a former beloved Chicago Bear, a member of the most recent Bears Super Bowl team, former Bears tight end, number 88, Desmond Clark.
That's right. Des Clark is in studio. Talk a little football here.
You like that open?
I love that open.
That's kind of
that's a little surprise for me there.
That was Ernie Skadden beating the deadline to get that done today.
Yeah, yeah, because we just confirmed it a few hours ago.
Yeah, like 5:30. Hey, can you
come on by?
Yeah, and we're gonna do these we're gonna do this as the season moves along. Great to see you.
Yeah.
And are we on Facebook Live too right now?
We're on Facebook Live right now. We got a lot of people.
This is big time.
Doing some. I got my lady on there. That's all that matters. I have her on there.
You want to say give a personal shout out?
Oh yeah, a personal shout out to my lovely lady, Miss Maria Clark.
Oh, so, Maria yeah. Clark is watching.
Oh yes, she is.
That's love right there. It's
all love.
How long y'all been together now?
We've been together since 2011.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting close to a decade here.
We are.
Every day is bliss, right?
That just means that we're getting old, right?
No.
Or getting better.
Getting better.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, well, here, let's talk about this football team. Speaking of getting better or not getting better, we'll start with the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And your thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky week one, which was ugly against Green Bay. How concerned should Bears fans be, Des Clark?
Well, let's just start off and just call it what it was. It was a pathetic performance from our Bears on the offensive side of the ball. But pump your brakes.
Yeah.
You know, you see all of this stuff all over social media. Everybody's killing Mitch right now. They see the other quarterbacks playing well. But I seen this as their first preseason game. Not an excuse, because I believe that they should have played a little bit in the preseason, and they wouldn't have been so bad this first game. So it's not an excuse, but it's the reason, and it is what it is. It takes a while for an offense to click, because it's not like defense. It's timing. The receivers have to be in the right place. The offensive linemen have to fight for another 2 to 3 seconds, because in practice, those guys, they're stopping at a certain point. And to get all of that timing on the offensive side of the ball, you need real live action. And that was their first real live action the whole year. So before we jump off the bridge like some people around Chicago is ready to do and toss Mitch Trubisky right along with them,
yeah,
give it some time, because it takes time for an offense to gel.
All right. 312-981-7200, by the way. If you want to ask Des a question, feel free. He'll be with us till 11 o'clock tonight. There's this debate in Chicago about Trubisky that's, well, what is he? We're not sure. We can't figure it out. We need to see 3 more games, 5 more games. He needs to be in the system a little bit longer.
That sounds familiar.
And so right. And then I'm thinking about you. You play with a guy by the name of Rex Grossman, and for a while we're trying to figure out, well, what is he?
Mm-hmm.
And he was good enough to take you guys to a Super Bowl. However, you had a phenomenal defense, and which is sort of similar to today. And then you play with this guy, I forget his name, Jay Cutler. Right.
And for, what, 7, 8 years, it was same thing.
Same thing, right. And so I'm sitting there like, look, we've seen this show in Chicago our whole lives. We should know exactly what he is, which is an average quarterback who has the ability to play above average for a game or two, and then he also has the ability to go the other way,
right,
and be really bad. And so I don't see any.
He's the typical good Chicago quarterback.
And right.
Yes. So
or not good Chicago quarterback.
Well, I think we've had good quarterbacks here.
We have.
Rex was a good quarterback.
Really?
He wasn't great. He had his moments. Rex, don't talk about my quarterback over there, Mark.
Okay, okay.
Rex, my guy now.
Okay.
Rex, my guy.
I appreciate that loyalty.
My favorite quarterback that I ever played with.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I
didn't
it.
Say he was the best.
I heard
say
it.
He was my favorite.
Okay.
Because Rex was just a guy, you know? You just like, that's Rex.
Right, so you appreciated him.
I appreciated Rex out of, I played with a lot of good quarterbacks, played with a lot of cool quarterbacks. Rex was the guy that I like playing with the most. I'm not sure how many other people will say that, but as far as I'm concerned, yeah, Rex, my guy.
Well, I've never heard when I talk to you guys, not, you know, back then covered the team mm-hmm. different, but now afterwards, I haven't heard a lot of glowing words for Six. That's just me.
Well, I mean,
from yourself and some, and that's, I want to put you in there, but from others,
I mean, we're on the radio, and yeah. and you got to keep it real, right?
Yeah,
you know, I'll tell people Jay wasn't my favorite guy on the team, but I will say this about Jay: out of all the quarterbacks that I played with,
okay,
if I was gonna have a bar fight and I had to pick one of my quarterbacks, Jay's going in with me.
Wow,
he's going in with me because Jay's tough, man, and Jay yeah. Jay's a great athlete. Good quarterback, but he lacks something in the personal human leadership department.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just leave it at that. We'll keep it nice.
You wouldn't want Josh McCown in there?
I didn't play with Josh.
Okay. All right. Now, I get my ears missed.
Now, if I wanted to be in a good mood and be happy and smiling, and I think Josh would have been my guy just from what I know of him, because he was that – feel good guy. He kept everybody up, kept everybody motivated and positive.
Salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas Jay is not, I wouldn't.
Jay was salty.
yeah. And back to Trubisky, I think he is well liked in there.
Right.
I think those guys appreciate who he is and know that he's going to work incredibly hard to be as good as he can possibly be. Mm-hmm. But whatever that ceiling is, I just don't. I personally don't think it's very high, and you're never going to hear Matt Nagy say anything like that, because what would be the point? But right. I do think they have to. I don't know if you want to call it dumb it down or whatever they got to do, but they got to realize that, you know, I don't see him taking off to a level where he's ever going to carry this team.
Right. Well, in Chicago, quarterbacks never carried a team, and I think everybody wants to see that. I think when we went from Lovey to the next coach, I'm forgetting his name.
Dick Duran?
No, Duran was before
Lovey. I'm going backwards.
Yeah.
So then we're going to Mark Trestman.
When right. Mark Trestman got here, people thought, okay, it's an offensive system now, and the offense is getting ready to take the lead over the defense. Same thing is happening again right now, but the difference is I think we have a real competent head coach. Where Trestman, I think he lacked leadership as a head coach. But this is Chicago. Defense is always going to be number one. Yeah. And that's coming from an offensive player.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I think we got to get past that at some point here. But that's the way it's been. Should they have run the ball more in week one?
Not only should they have run the ball more. Okay, so Cordarrelle Patterson, right?
Yes, what was that?
I think he's a great athlete.
Sure.
And I've been saying this all preseason. Well, in the preseason, I didn't see a place for him on the roster. And I still don't know how he made the team, even though he's a great athlete, good player, great return guy, okay receiver. But I said if he's going to make the team, he's going to be the fifth, sixth receiver. You keep that position for a young person, for a young receiver. So where does he fit in? Then I heard this, he's going to play running back. Oh, I was like, BS. He's never going to play running back. And when I seen him in the game, 3rd and 2, critical moment of the game, and they hand him the ball, when you got 3 competent running backs, I had to sit back and I had to question Nagy. Okay, I heard this a lot last year about him trying to be too cute. I started asking myself, is he trying to be too cute now? Why would you run a receiver on 3rd and 2?
See, and I start to wonder, do you want to prove yourself as the smartest guy in the room? And sometimes I have the same questions with Ryan Pace.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's line up the resumes. Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes.
Well, take Patrick Mahomes out of it.
Okay, fine.
We're looking at Patrick Mahomes because he won the MVP.
Well,
Patrick Mahomes was not one of the top guys in that draft.
But he was throwing for 800-plus yards at Texas Tech in the game.
But it was Texas Tech.
Right, but
everybody throws for 800 yards a game at Texas Tech.
Right, but the other guy was playing for North Carolina and started 13 games, so that's why I think you can bring But, okay, fine. To your point, we got the two-time college player of the year leading Clemson to a national championship, and then we've got the kid who's played 13 games.
Right.
And so if you're going to draft that guy, to me, it's you're just trying to show that you're perhaps smarter than everybody there, and you get yourself in trouble when you do that stuff.
Well, and so here's the thing with that. You can always go at a safe pick, right? The safe pick would have been Watson.
Yeah.
I mean, he outplayed the Alabama twice, two times. He was the best player on the field. So I think everybody knew that he was going to be at least a competent starting quarterback, right?
Sure.
So you can go at the safe bet. Or you can go and like you're saying, well, we see something different. We see something that maybe everybody don't see. And now with Mitch, that's not to say that he wasn't high up on other people's draft board. He was up there. But now that Deshaun Watson is doing what he's doing, everybody can look back now and have those questions. So Mitch wasn't a guy that was bottom first round. On most draft boards, he was either one or two. At the lowest, probably the third quarterback. So
that's all true. That's right. All true. So it's not as like he's picking somebody completely out of the blue. I get it.
Right.
But I still think if you're picking Trubisky there, you are trying to sort of outsmart yourself.
I agree with you, by the way.
Yeah.
I said this then, and I don't want people to start throwing all kind of hate at me, saying, oh, man, we're tired of this argument. During that draft, I was surprised that they didn't go with Deshaun Watson just because of his resume.
Yeah. People texting in, by the way, asking your thoughts on Lovie as a head coach on the college level.
I haven't seen much of Lovie on the college level. It's hard to watch Illinois football, man. And I love Lovie to death. I still don't know how I feel about the beard.
Yeah, he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, because Levy was clean shaven when he was here, man. So it was just that different look. I seen him at the Hall of Fame, and I was like, that's the beard that they're talking about.
Yeah.
And so, it's hard for me to watch Illinois football. I mean, I grew up in the greatest state for high school football and some great college football back in my day of the state of Florida. And again, people from Illinois, don't hate me. It's a fact. It's better football coming out of Florida.
I don't think anybody would argue that. That would be preposterous.
Yes.
But if Lovie was kind of, you know, doing something down there, you'd see him a little bit more. He's scuffling. As far as the Lovie thing goes, when you're successful on the NFL level, you've gone to Super Bowl, you made a ton of dough. Now you're going to go and you're going to coach in college. And you're going to have the hunger to go and recruit 18, 17, 16-year-old kids.
But I could see Levy doing that.
Really?
Though. Yeah. And you got to think about – and I think Levy is a guy who has a lot of pride about himself. He walks with his chest puffed out in a good way. Not in an arrogant way, in a confident way. And I believe Levy is the type of guy that says, I'm a head coach. I'm only a head I've made it to that top of the ladder. I'm only a head coach. And if I can't be a head coach anymore, then maybe it's time for me to give it up. And think about how it happened to him in Tampa also. That wasn't the right way to handle that situation by the Glazer family. And so when he left there, I just think he had the itch to continue being a head coach. And that was probably the best and first opportunity that came his way.
And even before he went to Tampa, look, I mean, that was a 10-6 Bears team that left, and it did not go better once. And everybody wanted, a lot of people wanted Lovie out of here, and they were calling it for a long time.
They got what they wanted.
They got what they wanted, yes. And it did not get better.
And we just had our first winning season since he's left. So thank you, everybody, who wanted Lovie to be out of here.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. All right, let's do a quick timeout here. We'll talk about the defense coming on back here, get you ready for the Bears. And what does Dez think about the matchup with Vic Fangio, now the head coach of Denver? We'll do that coming back, 720 WGN. Number 88, Des Clark in studio with us here, 720 WGN. Last time the Bears played in a Super Bowl, you were there, my friend.
I was there, and I wasn't a spectator.
And you got to, what was it? Just, you, how often do you think about that? I'm running out onto the field, even though it rained. You're playing in the Super Bowl.
One of the most amazing experiences in my lifetime, because as a kid, you watch the Super Bowl. You don't miss the Super Bowl. I didn't miss the Super Bowl until after I lost the Super Bowl, and then I couldn't watch the Super Bowl for a few years. But just knowing that the entire world is watching you, and I got a chance to play it in my home state, so I had my family down there. Man, unbelievable feeling.
Who was your football hero growing up?
So I had a few. My favorite team at the time was Tampa Bay, because I lived in Lakeland, Florida. So wasn't a whole lot of heroes to be had there in Tampa with the Yuccaneers, as they called them back at the old sombrero.
I loved the old sombrero.
Yeah, I did too.
You are looking live at Buccaneer Stadium. Give me some Brent Musburger for a noon kickoff, and there'd be like three people in the stands. But anyway, go ahead.
Really, I had a few players. Tony Dorsett was one of them.
Okay.
I love Randall Cunningham. Jerry Rice was my guy, and Walter Payton. Those four people. I mean, when I'm doing motivational speaking and I'm talking about when I was dreaming about being a football player, I talk about those four people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you realize that you were good enough to do it?
My junior year in college.
Okay.
After my junior year in college, I was all ACC and had led the conference in catches, and maybe a shot. And then I petitioned the NFL to see what my draft stock would be, and it was like fifth round to free agent. And I was like, okay, I'll take that. Yeah.
It's underrated, by the way. I mean, you're number two all-time catching the football for the Bears at the tight end position.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not nothing right there.
Well, you know what? Longevity.
Yeah.
Just being available. And yeah, when they throw the ball, I catch it,
which is a key component to being a good tight end. All right, here, Matt Nagy versus Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm. I'm reading today that Matt is saying we have completely changed the playbook, so Vic won't know what's coming. I don't think this is possible. I don't know if that's tongue in cheek or whatever. But who has the edge in a situation like that where Vic's leaving, but he certainly knows what's going on in Chicago?
The defense. Early in the year, the defense. There's no way that Matt Nagy has a brand new playbook that he's breaking out for this game that the whole entire offense has to learn. He has some wrinkles, I'm sure.
Right.
But an entire new playbook. I love you, Matt, but I got to call you out on this one. You're lying to us.
You got a prediction? Who do we think? Who's winning on Sunday?
I'm going to go with the Bears. I think they're embarrassed from the last performance. The offense is.
For sure.
The defense is going to do what the defense do every game. But I think the offense is embarrassing, and they want to come out and have a good showing. And I believe to do that, we got to get Montgomery more carries. We got to get him more carries.
And maybe we can get Tariq Cohen the football too.
And Tariq Cohen. I mean, he's that changeup guy. But to consistently – you know how Howard at the end of last year – how he became the guy, but Tariq Cohen was still involved. I believe we need to have that mixture that we had at the end of the year last year with Howard and Tariq, but this year with our rookie Montgomery and Tariq.
Des, great to see you. We'll do this again next week.
Always.
Thanks for coming down.
Yes, sir.
Get some rest.
I will.
Bears by 10. All right, quick time out. We'll do news, and then we'll salute John Williams, who's going to the Walk of Fame tomorrow, 720 WGN.